I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, Sports with the Max. Pete Najarian, always fun to have him in the studio. Market shut down today, Pete, huh?
Yeah, no market today.
Oops.
Nope. There we are. Susan? There we are. Hey, Susan.
Yeah.
We got a day off. And obviously, Martin Luther King Day, an incredible holiday. I'll tell you, the markets have been crazy, Maxie.
Crazy.
They have been. I mean, we've gone from every extreme that could be, and we've started all over again on this big jump to the upside once again in the last week or so.
Give me an akin here to sports. I mean, do you spend an awful lot of time studying it, and then you can have a day like yesterday when the two road teams still win in overtime? What is that like? Like, on a day like this, could you just consume yourself with trying to study who's the next best company? What's the next trend? Does that do you a lot of good or not?
Well, I think it always does you a good service to be able to understand the companies as best you can. And there's always something you don't know, and you're going to try to find something more.
Yep.
But the reality is, how does the market react to the news? And that's really what it's all about. And the news, obviously, over the last couple of months has been up and down and all
whatever
around.
Whatever the news is, how does it react to it?
Because we first had government shutdown news, which continues. And then obviously, the China trade war. And then how did holiday sales go? All of these things.
And those are pretty conflicting, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, holiday sales were good. We got the shutdown. I mean, it's not exactly all going in the same direction.
Right. And holiday sales were great in some respects. Target locally obviously was fantastic, and Brian Cornell and that group over there are just doing an amazing job of how they've really transformed Target from what it once was, Mike, to what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, you know, the world still talks about Target in the same sort of tone the way they talk about companies like a Walmart or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're nothing the same at all, as a matter of fact. What they have done is they've transitioned to a store that is five different segments, and within those five different segments, all of them get the same type of attention, and they try to work on the same revenues. And because of that, they're not as focused as Walmart is in the grocery business. We hear that about that all the time, and that's the problem right now is Walmart has very little margins, and they continue to – we all know the minimum wage is going higher and higher and higher.
Yeah.
And – obviously, margins get, you know, squeezed even more.
Yeah.
And if your margins are already mostly 50-something percent at Walmart in the grocery business, well, that makes it even tougher when you start to see this minimum wage going higher and higher, whereas Target has only 20% of them is really the revenue coming from the grocery side of things.
Okay.
Then they've got the toys, and they've got the electronics, they've got the home, they've got just about everything. And because of that, they have better margins, and they have a better opportunity to take the advantage of where they are in terms of where they compete, and they don't directly compete with the Walmarts, even though everybody always thinks that they do.
Yeah, they kind of think you go to both places to compare.
Yeah, right. And e-commerce is something that everybody has to compete. You've got to compete with Amazon or you're not going to survive. And those that have competed very, very well, and a lot of Minnesota companies have figured it out. I'll tell you what, Best Buy was supposed to go out of business about 10 years ago. And that hasn't happened yet.
Let me tell you where it gets complicated on that end. And I'm just, you know, as I learned, is the franchise businesses. So if you buy a franchise and you are, in essence, providing a marketing service for the corporate office, too, by being a franchise, and then people order online, and they got to figure out, well, how do you distribute that net profit?
Yeah.
It's more complicated. All this stuff is more complicated than you think.
Yes, it is. It's extremely complicated. And I'll tell you what, I think that there are companies out there that are doing an absolutely tremendous job, and not just Target, but there's all kinds of different companies that have. You've got to figure out how do you compete in as we watch the consumer.
And if you're a franchisee, if you want franchisees, you better be strong partnership, and they better know their revenue. You know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And more you're seeing all these different delivery businesses as well that are coming in. I mean, it's not just the online that you can buy it. It's the DoorDash and Uber Eats. And I mean, you name it, right? I mean, everywhere you turn, there is something out there that's making the experience better. And if you're not competing on that side of it, you're going to lose out as well.
Pete, what did you think yesterday of the football games?
Man, I'll tell you what, I was watching them all day with my daughter, who's to the left of me now, and we had the whole family was there, and I'll tell you.
You couldn't walk away.
You could not walk away. These were great games. You know, it's interesting because the early game, we had the call that everybody wants to talk about, right? And I'll tell you, it was too bad that it came down and everybody's focusing on that bad call,
yep.
The interference call that really should have been called, yep. That wasn't called, and a lot of people are so angry about that. But one thing I did learn from coaches long ago when I was still playing was, you know what, if it comes down to just one play, then there's something else somewhere in the chain that should have changed as well.
Yep.
And it's really too bad that the call wasn't made the correct way. Fair but call. You know what, there was a lot of different calls during the game as well. By coaches as well.
And by the way, mm-hmm. In the was it the overtime or the end of the game anyway, it looked like they almost gave New Orleans one back. They call the defensive holding and go, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm not so sure, you know.
Yep. There's and always a little bit of that makeup.
First down, they threw the interception, so it didn't matter, but they gave him a shot, it looked like.
Yeah. Well, I think what really changed in that game was suddenly the Rams defense really started to show up a little bit more as the game went on. They showed up a little bit more, and I think that the New Orleans Saints, who had dominated in the first half, you suddenly saw a little bit of a different team, and the defense that really stepped up for the Rams and the defensive line, and it was a very impressive showing, I think, because we talk about the offenses. Everybody knows about Jared Goff. Had a great second half.
Yep.
He really, really did. But I think it was the Rams' defense that suddenly turned the corner. The fact that they held two running backs that everybody regarded about as maybe the best tandem in the entire NFL and hold them to 41 yards, that says a lot about how they played on defense.
Yeah, because this is the first time in the history of the NFL that the four top offensive teams made the Final Four.
Yeah.
And oh boy, what a shock. They all got great quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, the best in the game.
What did you think of the Vikings transform, get a new offensive line coach, get an offensive advisor? Obviously, if you look at this as a business, and that's the way your mind works to analyze it, you say, well, Gary Kubiak, it's one of those where it all makes sense on paper, but does it? Mm-hmm. So in other words, what has to happen to make the hierarchy work? It can look good on paper, but it only works good if everybody's working on the same page.
And I think it's going to come down to who can make Kirk Cousins make the next step, right? I mean, and I think that
and
really
free his mind or whatever
somebody's
it is.
Somebody's got to unlock that. Maybe they can't, but I think that if you're a Viking fan and you're in the, you know, in the C-suite over there and all the rest of that type, you are waiting for that moment that hasn't happened yet in his career. And not just as a Viking, but even in Washington. You talk to people in Washington, they will tell you, you know what, we loved him, but he couldn't make the play in the big game.
But there was reason. Okay, you go, okay, I get that. But now he's been there long enough that maybe he will make
maybe
the big
play.
Maybe he's ready for that next. And he talks about it pretty openly.
Absolutely.
About trying to get into that next. You know, that next tier of quarterbacks.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's got to make that step. I mean, that's why you paid the guy $84 million is you expect him to make that step into that next group of guys.
Or at least be able to manage that game, you know, even if he's not a gunslinger.
Right.
Get him down the field.
Don't make
those
mistakes that you can't make when you're a top-tier quarterback. Okay. Right.
We come back in a bit. We got a special guest.
Yeah, we do.
As well, I'll share that with you when we come back. Sports to the Max on WCCL. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Pete Najarian in studio, joined by a special guest, his daughter, Alexis, happens to be in town and spending some time with the family. And on top of that, she was just crowned Miss Nebraska. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Tell me about this plight. How did you end up? Now, you went to you grew up in Chicago and Connecticut, right?
Yes. So Chicago until I was 12, and then Connecticut for my dad's job with CNBC. We moved out there. I was there for 7 or 8 years. And then I spent 4.5 years going to school in Nebraska and Lincoln, and then have been just living there for the last year since graduating. And one of my friends competed in 2017 in Miss Nebraska, and she has been just suggesting it to me for the last year and a half since she did it. And finally, one day, she kind of convinced me enough for me to go for it. It was mid-October we had a conversation about it. And then the first week of November, I was like, all right, I'm going to do it.
You're going to do it.
Turned my paperwork in, and here we are.
I posted a picture of the three of us on Facebook, and I did point out at the end that Alexis is the one that looks like a model.
they'll be able to tell which one she is.
In case they're discerning. I mean, when you decide to go into something like that, what does that mean?
So there's some, you know, background bio information that you send in. But then the pageant itself was 2 days in Omaha at a theater up there called the Rose Theater. And so on Saturday, you go through registration and rehearsals and some photo shoots. And then Saturday night, there was preliminaries. So you do an introduction. So you kind of pick out a fun, unique outfit that you want to showcase your personality on stage. And then you do a bikini walk and a gown walk on stage. And so the judges, we had five in Nebraska. And so our judges.
Five judges?
Yes. Yeah. So our judges judged us, essentially scored us. And then those numbers were not told to us or anything. And then that was kind of the end of the show on Saturday night. Then Sunday morning we go and we do personal interviews. So there's five judges in a room and there's five contestants in a room. And you just kind of rotate from judge to judge for about 3 to 4 minutes with each judge. And then you leave. And the combined scores from Saturday night's preliminary and then Sunday morning's interview are totaled. And that's how they decide the top 10 for the Sunday night show. So then Sunday night, they choose the top 10 on stage, and then you go do those top 10, then compete again in bikini and gown. And then from the gown, you do a top 5, and those top 5 get 2 onstage interview questions. And then they go through and they do 4th, 3rd, 2nd, runners-up, and then the top 2.
So what were your interview questions?
My first one was about the Warriors for Ross Foundation, which is about raising awareness and funds for childhood cancer, leukemia.
Now, is this something you'd been involved in, so you had an idea or not?
No. So, I mean, obviously, you know, I was aware of the foundation through just learning about the pageant information. I knew it was very closely related to some people that were involved.
Okay.
But I have never worked directly with Warriors for Ross. So part of our People's Choice Awards, that was one of the awards that was given to contestants, our friends and family and anybody was able to vote online for about 3 days leading up to the pageant. And so it was all the funds raised for that, you know, $1 per vote. And so those go towards whoever the people are voting for. And so my question was about that, saying, how would you be able to promote and raise more awareness for this Warriors for Ross Foundation?
Do you have an idea that that's going to be a question or not?
No. Okay. So you choose everybody that's on stage. All the top five each get 2 questions. One of them is from the judging panel, and the other one is from the other contestants
really?
Who are not included in the top 5. So part of our registration was to submit 1 question, and then if you make the top 5, your question gets pulled from the choices.
I see. So you're not going to – there's no chance you're going to get
right.
the one you yeah, submitted. I got
you. That would have been good, though.
Yeah, that would have been – I was going to say, you could ace that easy.
Right. Yeah, so that was one of my questions, and I just talked about social media and how – it can be really used in a beneficial way for promoting good causes like that and being able to, you know, just swipe up and donate $1, donate $10, whatever it is. It makes it really easy to do good.
What was the other question?
The other question was, why are we still doing beauty pageants in 2019?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, it's a real fair
question.
That's
a good question, yeah.
And I just talked about, you know, it's a really great opportunity and experience for people, and especially if you have something that you're really passionate about, like something like Warriors for Ross or any other kind of, I mean, in my case, I'm hoping to really do a lot of good for Lyme disease and raising awareness mm-hmm. with my mom's connection and all that kind of stuff. And so just how it can be a really great platform to do, again, a lot of good for whatever you're passionate about.
Do they give you like X amount of time that you have to give the answers that they do or?
They didn't. I mean, okay. Maybe they did, and I just was oblivious once you're on stage under the lights and everything. But
so how does this compare nerve-wracking-wise to sports you compete in and everything else? How does this one feel?
Definitely different. I mean, it's kind of weird to stand on stage in a dress versus running down a triple jump runway or something like that. But it's – I don't know. It's – for me, maybe it was part of just getting older and more mature and more experienced and everything like that, but – I really felt like, especially by Sunday night, once I'd already done it, I was like, okay, I've been here. Now I can kind of take a breath. And I'm sure my dad feels the same way. You know, you go through high school, college football, finally get to the pros, and it's like, okay, I've been here. I can do this.
Yep.
So, and it's just.
I was way more nervous than her. I'll tell you that.
I was going to get to
you
in a second.
How about when your daughter walks on stage in a pair of 5-inch heels or whatever you're wearing in a swimsuit? I mean,
honestly. What's dad thinking?
Well, you're nervous as heck. You're sitting there looking, and you see your wonderful daughter looking beautiful and all these other gals that are just wonderful people. And you get to know them, Mike. I mean, you get to know each one of the girls, and it's great. And they're all so wonderful, great personalities. But you get nervous for all of them.
You know, you get nervous for the outcome. You get nervous that they might slip.
Yeah, you don't want anybody to have one of those bad
moments.
Can
you imagine?
Right? Yeah.
You know, so
that's what I'd be thinking
all
the time.
All that goes through your mind. And I, you know, and then when it comes down and she's standing up on the stage and she's answering.
Because you really don't go with expectations like that. You can't, right?
No.
You just got to let it fly.
Hey, you just see what happens.
I mean, the odds are stacked against you. Yeah, you let it go, right?
Right, yeah. Right. But you know what? You know, neither of my my daughter ran track at Nebraska, as you mentioned, or whatever, and she just talked about running down the triple jump. That's a lot different than getting up in front of people in a swimsuit and
that's
walking
what I would think,
in your
I'd be
heels.
So self-conscious.
And, oh, can you imagine?
I'd be thinking all the time, as opposed to just when you just
right.
compete.
Right. But even the questions, you know, not knowing what the question's going to be and to stand up in front of, I don't know how many, 500,000 people, whatever it was in the place, that's brutal. That's absolutely brutal.
Did you tutor her at all or anybody at all?
You know,
Alexis, maybe you want to take this one first, but I mean, how do you prepare for that part when you don't know the unknown?
Honestly, I just had my dad and my mom and my brother all kind of asked me some random questions over Christmas break when I was home. And just, you know, kind of standard, why do you want to be Miss Nebraska? All this kind of stuff. And that's really all you can do because, like you're saying, it's completely unknown.
Yeah. But there is a way you can answer them that you can practice at least, right?
I mean,
with poise,
sure.
grace, articulation, all those things, right?
Exactly. Yep. And then the morning before, well, Friday morning, actually, I had my boyfriend just say, okay, I asked him to ask me the hardest political questions he could think of. And so he just asked me very controversial stuff, and I tried to not laugh.
But that's fair game, too. They could ask you that?
They did.
There was a question about, you know, the wall and conserving the environment and stuff like that. And so that was part of why I was a little more calm, because I luckily was right after those questions. So I knew that those were already off the table.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, that's true, I guess. Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yep.
But you still don't know what's coming.
Right.
Because they might have thought of one about, you know, is Mars going to hit the Earth or something? And
sure.
You're going, I didn't study that one, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I kind of skated right past the political stuff, at least I assumed that there wouldn't be more than one. Because there was one judge who I figured could probably ask something like that. And then I was.
But after that, here's the other part that I think is different is when you compete in sports. There's the scoreboard in general. But you have no idea because it's all subjective as to how they perceived whatever it was that you answered, right?
Right.
So now you just wait.
Yep.
Is that a calm or is that anxiety?
For me, it was calm because I was just so excited to be there. And it was my first time ever doing anything like it. And like I said, I decided so last minute.
You left your comfort zone, huh?
I did, completely. Yeah, I never would have guessed that I would
be
competing in
pageants. This is a cowboy boot wearing, jean wearing kind of gal who sits on the back of a tailgate of a pickup truck. And there she is up on a stage in a gown. It's just, it's totally out of the realm of anything she had ever shown mom and I for 24 years of life. So,
but she's lived in the big city, so she's at least seen it, understand it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And all the while, all these other contestants' parents are coming over to your dad to get stock tips.
Right. Exactly.
And that's probably not, I'm probably not selling that short.
No.
There was a couple though.
Yeah, let's take a break, come back, we'll continue this conversation. Alexis and Pete Najarian in studio, Sports the Max on WCCO. Welcome back. Pete Najarian, Alexis Najarian in studio with us. Wild win tonight, 4-2 in Vegas. Big win for them. Talking about, we've got a Miss Nebraska and a pretty accomplished football player and stock trader and CNBC host in our studio at the same time. Hey, Pete, give me some, when you raise your children, and, you know, we never know if we're doing it right or not.
There's no book, is there?
There is no book, man. Now we know what our parents went through, all that. And you, like I, you know, I was raised with boys, you know. And so a daughter is, it's a different deal.
It is.
And you move from Chicago to Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just want the best for your kids.
Yeah.
What did you see about your, how did you try to coach her through life? Because you don't know if they're going
to
play sports, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but you want to coach them as best you can for life.
Yeah, I will tell you this. That move, I felt guilty the day we moved the kids out to Connecticut from Illinois. They loved Illinois. I loved it when we were in the Chicagoland
area. You did,
didn't
you? You really enjoyed it.
Really did. Yep. You know, I really did. I had no intention of ever becoming a New Yorker.
Yeah.
You know what? They convinced me a little bit and really convinced my wife. And, you know, the travel was becoming, you know, very difficult. So we made the move. And it's tough to bring a girl 12 years old, 13 years old, going into seventh or eighth grade and pulling her from everywhere she's ever been, everything she's ever known, in this wonderful small town, because we moved outside of Chicago. We moved 20 miles west in a place called Western Springs. No one ever heard of it. But it's not a
huge city?
It's a very small town.
Is it really?
It's literally a town.
It is a town, like I grew up in.
Yeah. Right. It's a town like you grew up in, but it borders LaGrange, Illinois, which is a bigger town.
Yep.
And anyway, we pulled the kids from there, and we put them in New Canaan, Connecticut, which is a beautiful place, but it's a different kind of world. And the East Coast is a different place to live.
And you probably really can't prepare for that. Huh? You just got to live it and then see how it's different.
You know, and it's easier as an adult. You just adjust.
Yeah.
And you know, I played football and bounced all around NFL, World Football League, even CFL and all that kind of stuff. And so I'd lived a bunch of places. But, you know, it's tough to drag your kids who know one place and pull them out of that situation.
So Alexis, with that in mind and going what you're going through, there are lots of girls that go through things like that. I think as I study it with I got a daughter that's a freshman in high school, and even if it's easy, life is tough for them. You know what I mean? That makes sense to you, right?
It sure does.
What advice do you give? Because I do think that in a lot of respects, being a girl is tougher than being a boy in terms of growing up during the formative years.
Yeah. So you mean
do you give in terms of maintaining your self-esteem and your self-confidence through the difficult times and the transition times and the times when there's clicks and there's this and you're in and you're out and there's social media and you're in and you're out? What do you say?
Well, I consider it lucky enough to – I didn't go through the whole social media thing the same way kids are right now.
Yeah, you kind of just missed it as it is now. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I can't speak to that quite so much. But, I mean, clicks are hard. Going from Illinois to Connecticut, it was also 7th going into 8th grade.
Yeah, very difficult time.
So, you know, you kind of just find your click in middle school and then you switch schools and it's a whole new set of rules and everything changes. I think – one thing that my parents have always talked to me about is just, you know, be who you are and also act as if grandma is always watching.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just trying to do the right thing and not conforming to what everybody on Snapchat's doing and, you know, who cares what everybody else is wearing. And if you're not comfortable with it, don't do it. Because if you're going to look back on it and regret it, it's probably not worth it.
Yeah, but it's easy to say, but hard to do on a daily basis, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Super hard. And, you know, your opinions change on things. Experiences make you think differently about things. But I think just going with your gut in the moment about what's right and wrong and just sticking with what you really feel is important.
When you got to University of Nebraska, was that an easier transition than, say, from Chicago to Connecticut?
It was because I wanted it.
Yeah, you picked Nebraska in this case.
I chose to go to Nebraska, yeah. I mean, the move to Connecticut was tough, like they said. I mean, it was tough on everybody. But I ended up finding my clique in Connecticut, but it definitely took a while. I mean, it took about 3 years for me to really find a solid group of friends and people that I still connect with.
Sure.
And then going to Nebraska, there was just all this excitement about, okay, I'm finally going to college. I'm finally going to be on my own. And now, you know, it's sad to kind of be on my own. I wish I could go back home sometimes, but it's nice to just see everything that's possible. Whereas, because I'm seeing all the positives, and then the opposite of that was going to Connecticut. I'm seeing all the negatives. I'm leaving my friends. I'm doing all these. I'm getting taken from the place that I know. And flip that, when you get a little older, you're excited about these things you don't know and excited to do new things and meet new people and all that stuff.
Do you ever have an interest in doing what your dad does or something similar?
Not quite.
No? That'd be no, huh?
She's very entrepreneurial, though. She really is.
Okay, but not in that.
But not necessarily in the financial world.
Not in the finance world. No. For a while, I did think about doing sports journalism and sports broadcasting, and I thought that would be really cool just because I love sports. I want to be around them always.
Yep.
And maybe now it's a little bit different, but for a while I was kind of like, well, I don't know if I want to be on TV. I don't want that spotlight and everything. And this year I think is going to make me warm up to it a little bit and just be forced into it. So maybe it's a possibility in the future again.
And you majored in psychology, so you can do a lot of different things with that.
Yeah. So majored in psychology, got a minor in business. The goal would be to someday open up a gym for high school athletes. And, I think that would be really cool.
This is a complete aside, but Pete, I'm going to throw this at you because you're financial.
Uh-oh.
In our neighborhood, they opened this gym called Redline. Redline is it's a national chain, I think. They opened a franchise. And the premise of it is You pay a monthly fee based on how many times you plan to attend there. And if you get there at the top of the hour, they take you through a training session with a group. And then the last half hour, 45 minutes, you specialize in whatever sport it is that you want to specialize in, right? Mm-hmm. So I love that concept, right? You can go there anytime you want. And you, at the top of the hour, you're going to get all the training, the weights of this and the that. And then you're going to get to do your, if it's basketball, baseball, lacrosse, soccer, you know, they've got a coach that probably coached in college or something that takes you through it. And so I thought this had great potential, and it probably does. And then we went over there the other day, and it said, Red Line is closed.
Uh-oh.
Will not be reopened. Hmm. And you go, okay. So I haven't researched it at all.
Yeah.
But I thought, my gosh, that something like that, to your point, yeah. I thought there was great potential for something like that, because it allowed for both the what we want, kind of that pickup setting where it was a team sport, and yet you can focus on individual.
Yeah, you know, it just shows you how difficult business world really is.
Yeah,
And you know what? There are times, Mike, maybe it was just that the folks that had started that had spent too much money on specific things going into this whole
thing. You don't know. Front-end stuff,
just don't know. I think these concepts can work. As a matter of fact, if she wasn't dating the gentleman that she's dating, I probably would be considering trying to invest in them in terms of the gym that she'd like to open, similar to what you're describing. We had something out on the East Coast called Blue Streak, and it was a similar idea where it was a fitness place, but I like her idea best, where it's kind of a mind, body, and soul. So you're really working on everything, and I think a lot of these places are specific to a sport, and it's just on the athletic side, because you and I both know, and we were talking about Kirk Cousins earlier, at some point, your brain really does affect how far you can
get. Oh, sure, yeah.
And so if you can work on the mind and the body.
And figure out how to make that attractive and integrated,
right? Yeah, yep. And if you can bring all that together, you really might have something. And
but I just think that there, as I look at the appetite in youth sports, and I mean, to me, there has to be. I think there's a huge appetite for just what you're talking about there, if you can package it correctly, right? Yeah. Because parents are busy too.
Yeah.
And if you can drop your son or daughter off and know that they're getting that kind of training, that's worth a lot.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's business.
And every
business, you've got to go through that whole checklist of what does this cost? What are we making? What does this cost? And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who have great ideas, but sometimes you got to have that business side that understands, okay, but that's too expensive. How do we fix that? How do we do that, what we need to do, in a different manner so we can afford to be able to do it?
And a lot of that, many times, comes down to marketing too, doesn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
What can you spend on it? What's organic? What's word of mouth?
Yep, absolutely.
But I just think you're onto something there, because if there is a, because we, like I said, we as parents are so busy, and yet you don't want your kids going home playing video games. You would love to have that place where you know they're getting an addition to their education, if that makes sense.
Right, yeah, and that's what you're talking about is very similar to the concept that my friend and I kind of came up with, is you have the sports, you have the very sport-specific, you know, avenues that they can go down once they get there. And then what our idea was is to incorporate the sports psychology, the sports nutrition part of it, and then to, since they are high schoolers, to bring in, you know, the homework help, have tutors there. If they want to spend all night there till 10 o'clock at night, they can stay there studying for stuff after they've already, you know, done their sport, they've done their training. It's all inclusive right there.
And that's what I was hoping this would become for, you know, that's what I thought kids, this would be their hangout, you know. Mm-hmm. What a perfect place to hang out. You're with other kids. They're doing the right thing.
Exactly.
And that's a big...
Sounds like better than hanging out at the mall or something.
That's
like
what
that,
I'm saying.
Right?
Better than hanging out at the mall. And by the way, there's about 10,000 square feet sitting there, and all the equipment's still there. If you're interested, I think I'll point you in the right direction, because my guess is there may be a lease ready to be picked up right now, you know? Yeah. Pete, what do you tell your son and your daughter about vision, what it is that they should be and how they should approach their life?
Yeah, you know, I've just tried to express to both of them, you got to find your passion. And when you find your passion, how do you make that, how do you monetize your passion? I mean, there's a lot of things in life we both might love.
Yep.
But then you've got to figure out, all right, how do I make money at doing this?
Yeah, NBA is not going to come sign me anytime soon.
No.
So what's plan B, right? Yep.
So you've got to just try to piece together, how do I put this all together and make it in such a way where I can make a business out of this wonderful idea? And I love what Lex is doing right now. I mean, the idea of the, you know, fitness along with the mental side of it and all of that coming together, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think you can make money at it. But again,
you can't go out there and try to do that in the middle of an area where maybe the costs are just too high.
That's right. And if you don't know what the old Harvey McCabe's, go check the windshields and see what kind of cars are driving in the neighborhood. Tell you,
look in the lots, see how much oil spatter is there.
That's right.
Are there cars coming in or not?
Yep.
Right.
And Alexis, I got to tell you, and you having participated in track, and say, I mean, if I was to say, we talk about this healthcare crisis that we have. To me, if we got everybody exercising, we'd eliminate 50% of it. Now, we can't mandate that. We can't make it law. But I talk to the people that own these health clubs, and they go, yeah, they're only 15% of the belong to health clubs. You're going, only 15%? You know, because you feel like when you're there, everybody's there, right? But if we could get some kind of initiative, I don't know how to do it, but we could do all kinds of things that are so much more powerful. Plus, people reduce stress. They reduce anxiety. They reduce the mental side of things. I just think that we don't talk enough about that, and I think you know exactly what I mean when I say that.
Right, yeah. I mean, I work at Orange Theory in Lincoln.
Oh, do you really? Yeah.
Have you been?
No, yeah, I know a guy who owns a couple franchises up here.
Okay. Are those great?
Yeah. People get addicted to those.
It. Yes, yeah. It's like a fitness cult.
Yeah, that's what it sounds
like. Yeah. But that's one thing that a lot of our members come in and say is, hey, you know, can I get a printout of all my classes so I can submit it to insurance or my company? So I think if parents and adults and everything, if their work can start somehow helping them reimburse their fitness and health endeavors. And then if that can trickle down to the kids, I mean, obviously, if you build that foundation with your kids to be fit and be healthy, eat right, be active every day, all that kind of stuff, they're going to grow up with that lifestyle, and then they won't have, hopefully, these chronic diseases.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
all
you're not
going to
avoid them all, right?
Up.
But let's take care of what we can control. What is the theory of Orange Theory? How has it evolved? Because I keep seeing them popping up, so I assume they're doing well.
Yeah, so it started down in Florida, I believe, about 8 years ago now. The basic idea is that we train in 5 heart rate zones. So there's gray, blue, green, orange, and red. And so you earn what we call splat points in the orange and red zones. So it's 84% or more of your max heart rate. And so the idea is if you can earn 12 or more splat points throughout the 1 hour long class, you're burning more calories up to 36 hours after your workout than if you are not getting those 12 splats.
Oh, because it's scientific. You know exactly where you want to be.
It's completely science-based.
And you know if you hit it or not.
Yes, because you were in a heart rate monitor the whole time, and you can see what's going on up on a screen during class. You see exactly where your heart rate's at, how many calories you've burned, how many splats you're at. You know, after class, you see your average heart rate. So it's a really, really cool way to track very closely what you're doing.
And that's an interesting point because you get on machines, and I asked somebody, they said, don't pay attention to it because they'll tell you how many calories you've burned.
Yeah.
And I said, it doesn't make any sense to me because I'm busting my butt here, and it says I only burned 80 calories. And over here, I don't feel like I worked as hard. It says I burned 300. He goes, forget it. Don't pay any attention to those because you don't know for sure, you know?
Right. Yeah, and the beauty of Orange Theory is you're doing a little bit of everything. So some people go to the gym and they run 3 miles, they run outside, they run 3 miles, or they go and all they do is lift or whatever. Sometimes do a little bit of both. But at Orange Theory, you're going in, you're spending about half the time on the treadmills and about half the time on the weight floor. You're doing endurance, strength, power, combination. Yeah, so you're constantly moving the whole time. And sometimes there's rester sizes or something like that where it's kind of a rest, but it's really just a break from what you're doing to do something else.
But it's all programmed.
Yeah, so you're just constantly going for about an hour, but it's fun and it's completely paced it however you want to do it. So if you want to power walk one day because your knee's hurting or if you're just kind of not feeling top notch, then you can power walk or you can sprint the next day. It's all you control your workout. You're just guided through it.
Mm. Yeah, I did my first triathlon this last year.
Whoa. Oh, cool.
Cool. That wasn't the word I used
when I got to
the end of it.
It was a different word.
It was a different word. Hey, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks,
appreciate
Mike.
It. Congratulations,
thank
Alexis. Keep us posted. And Pete, always a pleasure to have
it's
you
always
in.
Always fun, Max.
Nice to know that her boyfriend's an Army Ranger. And
he's not afraid of me at all.
I love hearing that, man. You cannot intimidate him.
Cannot.
All right. We'll wrap up with Al Malbert when we come back. 8:53 and change. Sports to the Max. News Talk 830 WCCO. Fun hour with Pete Najarian and his daughter, Alexis. Pete said a pretty storied career there. Al Malmberg, did you hear some of that? Oh, is he there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, there you are.
I'm hearing a mixed minus issue.
Uh-oh. Okay. Al Malmberg's coming up next. When we got that mixed minus, doesn't mean much to our viewing, our listeners out there, but it means that it's not real fun in your headset. I'll just leave it at that because different stuff's coming in and going out and all that stuff. But Al will be on with us in just a matter of minutes, and we will talk about a number of things.
Yes.
You got me okay now, Al?
I hear you, but I'm hearing myself twice, three, four times.
You know, I've been there in my life. But next week I'm going to be in Atlanta for the Super Bowl, so I'll be calling in and hopefully talk to Al a little bit. Yeah.
I'd like you to call in on our show.
Well, I certainly will. All you got to do is let me know when.
We will. That would be fun. Did you hear about the moose that was chasing skiers and Breckenridge down the side of the mountain? Great video.
I've heard beware of moose. I heard they can attack, and that's not a, you know.
Yeah.
And did he catch the skiers or not?
The video didn't show him catching any of the skiers, but I'll tell you what, they were snowboarders, so I don't blame the moose.
Oh, that makes sense. I was going to say downhill or slalom, yeah.
Get off my mountain. Yeah. You can just read a huge rack. The moose.
Yes, the moose, yes.
Yeah, the moose. And he was a tad miffed that they were on his mountain.
Wow. You hear about that stuff. I've never seen it, but they say if you see a moose, especially one with a huge rack, get out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because they will attack.
Yeah. It's not all that common, but they have been known to do that.
Yes.
Especially, they're very territorial, I understand, from what I've been reading.
Yes.
You can go on any site and type in moose charges skiers at Breckenridge.
And you can find it?
You'll see it. You'll see the video. And
oh, wow.
We were skiing.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. You're in a chair, you know, if you're riding the chair up and you see that, you just pull out your phone and you get great video of it and be safe.
Yeah.
Be like a drone.
We were skiing at Monarch. Boy, this has got to be 20 years ago or even longer. And we were going up the chairlift and we saw a coyote.
Yeah.
That looked like he had been drinking.
Really?
And I mean, obviously, this animal was
rabies
sick
or something, huh?
Who knows? Yep. Who knows? But, you know, for a coyote to go around people, that's
very unusual.
You never, ever, ever see
get
that.
Get the ski patrol on that one, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and arm them.
Yeah, exactly. We've got about a minute left. What do you got coming up?
We're going to look at the banned words of 2019 from Lake Superior State University. They've been doing this since 1976, and we've had them on the air many times talking about the words that people just don't deem worthy to be continued, to have the continued use. Let's put it that way.
But we can use them. There's no law against it.
No, no law. You'll just be shot.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yep. They'll turn that moose loose on you.
There you go.
Yeah, Lake Superior State, they probably got moose too, right?
Yes. I wanted to talk about the football games, and we didn't get to
how good was that, huh?
Oh, man, fun. Isn't that fun? Four good teams.
Somehow the NFL always ends up winning in the end, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, you know, nobody snuck in this year. I mean, they all deserved to be there,
you
all four teams. And those were great games.
We'll pick that up conversation later in the week. Al Malmberg coming up next on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.